This is Simply Lowai, and you're listening to The Expert with a Heart.
Let me start you off on a story. We have a 48-year-old homemaker who has, for the last 8 to 9 months, been looking after her ailing husband. Her husband, initially, prior to his illness, was responsible for all of the financial decisions that the family took. She has two daughters. You know, both of them are at the age when college education takes up a fair bit of the mind space. The husband is diagnosed with an ailment. He's critically ill for about 8 to 9 months, leaving the company with a lot of expenses, medical expenses, and finally passes away. This is not an event that the woman had ever anticipated. And sometimes I think life doesn't prepare us for curveballs like these, but she must now navigate this new phase of life. Welcome to Simply Lowai. And on the previous episode, we did give you an understanding of the need for financial transition planning. And this is the example that we spoke about in the previous episode. And our experts are back again. Lowai Navlakhi and Sneha Jagar are here. Now, Lowai and Sneha, help us understand the situation as it is. What is this woman faced with? What are the challenges that are staring at her in the face?
I think in this situation, the first thing that came up was that the loved one whom she lost was the one who was taking the financial decisions. So suddenly now she needs to worry about the finances. And keep in mind that the last 8-9 months, nobody has been able to pay attention to those because the husband was going through treatment and she was the primary caregiver. So the first thought is, do I have enough money to continue living in the house I'm living in? How will I take care of all the expenses? If there are loans running, how will they get repaid? Do I need to do something drastic to get that in place? At the same time, I'm like very protective, or she's very protective about her daughter, saying, you know, the intention was that the elder daughter went to work in that organization that she had found the job in, but she had to move cities, so therefore will need financial support when she settles into the new city. And the younger one is going to go into a graduate program overseas, which is expensive, and she doesn't want to come in the way of that. So I think a whole bunch of, I would say, emotions and issues that she was facing at that point in time. And when these happen together, you tend to almost clutch at straws, because you're trying to figure out which one should I deal with first. And every day or every moment or every hour, something suddenly gets priority because that's what's being spoken about. So that was the emotional state at that point in time.
So just now in Lowai's explanation, we heard four things. One was taking care of somebody who is unwell, then losing a loved one, having a child move out of the house, and then having to start looking at what next for me. These are four things that are running parallelly, and mind you, each of these are many transitions that this person will have to go through. And going through all of these coming together is not easy. Therefore, it is also important, going back and saying that, first, pause, think what is the next most important step, and then move forward. One of the tools that we as transitionists run is, am I okay? I'm not going too detailed into that, but the fact that there is a proper scientific way of dealing with this helps you calm down and then move forward. You are not alone. There is somebody who can help you out and take you forward with it.
I think it's important to put out there that while we talk about transition and we think that they are sequential or they will happen one at a time, we have seen many situations, and I'm sure you have also faced multiple situations where there are multiple transitions going on in your life. And as we sort of follow that, there are four different stages of transition. You may be going through each of these transitions may be in a different stage. So in one of the transitions, you are actually feeling happy that you have reached a new way of dealing with yourself. But in something else, you are totally numb and don't know where to start, overwhelmed. So I think you have to remember that when you're dealing with this case or any other transition.
So staying with this example, Sneha and Loai, what are some of the key financial areas that the woman must now focus on as first steps, you know, to get her life back in some sort of order while still, you know, dealing with this loss, while still dealing with these emotions, the roller coaster days that are part of her life right now? Walk us through those financial areas.
So I think when you're faced with so many things, I think one of the simplest things that everyone can do is take a sheet of paper and write down everything that's coming to your mind as worries or things that you need to take care of. In fact, there are some scientific studies which speak about in normal course, even if you're not facing transition, but you're facing issues that you're trying to grapple with, every night before sleeping, write them down and do it for 5 nights in a row, and you know, you're suddenly feeling calmer about it because you have let it out of your system. So, but in this case, writing down all the different situations that I'm worrying about my younger daughter getting to college and how she will be feeling emotionally is one thing. But how will I take care of the finances over the next 4 years that I have to pay for? The money is available for the first 1.5 years. The next 2.5 years, how is it going to happen? What will I need to break from the investment? Is it something that I need to start, you know, working and earning? And that's the other piece now. How do I rebuild my identity, which has been of a homemaker, and now suddenly I have to become the one who's the provider? So whole bunch of things that come there. But first, if you write them all down, then we as transitionists are able to maybe look at it slightly zoomed out and bucket these in different groups so that we know these 4 decisions are all pertaining to the younger daughter. These 3 are pertaining to your identity in future. This is to do with, you know, taking care of the immediate needs, get the insurance policies, file the taxes, close whatever needs to be done from the loved one's account and get that completed so that it's transferred. So there are a whole bunch of things that I think will come out once you put this down and you get the help of a transitionist to help you guide through.
So Sneha and Loai, you had told us about a certified financial transitionist on the previous episode. And I think now is the time for our listeners to get an understanding of the role that such a person can play in your life should you find yourself in a similar circumstance like the one that the woman that we spoke about. So how does having a CEFT really help you navigate what is clearly a very emotional and, you know, troubling time in your life? And you also have to take care of practical decisions. Somehow the two don't seem to come together very well, and yet you must make these choices. So how does one having a planner like this help?
So the first meeting we had with this client, we spoke exactly for 5 minutes. The other 60 plus minutes, we were listening to her. And at times it was repetition of what she was feeling. At times it was her fear that she just wanted to share. And while we go 2 steps deeper to understand why or why not, a whole lot of new emotions erupted, which she ended up telling us she's never told anybody else. And somehow in our conversation, she's been able to share. So the conversations with this client have been quite deep. They have been, the meetings have been longer. And like I said, it is all about listening in the first place. When I am there to listen, that's when the client opens up. We are also able to then, what Loai said, put everything down on a piece of paper and then start clubbing it. And going forward, after our initial few meetings, we started breaking these down because meetings were becoming very long. Even for her and us to, you know, cover everything in one go was becoming difficult. So after that, once we've had about 2-3 meetings, we then broke the entire piece down to say that we will have A meeting on Monday and then follow it up the next week talking about the B portion of the life. We said there were four transitions happening, one with the closure of the loss that she's faced. So we may, in our one meeting, just talk about that. Not talk about, what's happening with the daughter, how is she going to manage her finances, etc. Because that gives her some focus to see what needs to be done there. And it helps us also bring out some concrete actions and then give the work back to her to follow it up and then come back. Then once this has been spoken about, then we strictly say we're not taking other conversations today or action points. In our next meeting, we take the second pain point, which would be cash flow management for the next 1 year, 2 years and 3 years. How do we break that down? We run some tools to say, okay, am I okay managing expectations? There are many other tools. Whatever suits in at that point in time, we pick it up and say, okay, let's run this and then move forward. Then the next meeting, we pick up the case of, closing out on her daughter's education abroad. What institutions are going to be good for her? How is she going to pay for it? What is it that the daughter actually wants to do, and so on. So this is one of the ways where, we've actually helped her break things down so that she has actionable items which she can close in bite-sized manner.
I think one of the things we realized is that initially we would, as financial advisors, we think, we are God's own. And we can solve all the problems that clients face all together, magic wand. And what we realize is that if we list down and say, okay, we are going to have this meeting, which is going to be the next, say, 1.5 hour. And here are 6 items that we are going to talk of. And here, 15 minutes for each of these items. Let's first talk about this and move to the second. You realize that when a person is going through transition, they do not have the emotional strength to go through many items together. So there is maybe narrow focus. So you want to do one thing at a time. And that's when we quickly then switched, as Neha mentioned, to much shorter meetings, specific agenda, and say, let's only discuss this. If there was a need for another longer meeting, which was, let's listen into what she's feeling, then we would add that separately. But in that meeting, then we are not talking agenda. So if you are able to split that, so the work of a financial transitionist is definitely slower than that of a wealth manager, an advisor who says, okay, here's your money, this is what you need to do now. It's going much deeper into understanding the emotion, but it's definitely something where you will, at the end of it, find 100% satisfaction that all that you suggested has all got acted upon. So I think that's probably the difference also between a transitionist and a regular financial planner advisor.
I'm tempted to digress a little bit over here because, Lovai, in some of the earlier conversations on this podcast series as well, you brought up this whole, the psychological effect on some of these financial decisions that we make. Our life stories are different, our aspirations are different, and sometimes it's hard not to feel emotional at various points in our lives. And then we need to also make simultaneously some of these decisions. So it's an area that has come up pretty often. And I suspect it's at the heart of a lot of what you personally would like to do, Lovai, as someone who's an expert in this area. So tell us about why IMMPL has this built into, the way I see it, into its DNA.
So actually, it was a situation almost similar to the case we are discussing that we faced almost 12, 13 years ago. And during one of my visits to a conference in the US, I came across this bunch of financial transitionists, and they spoke about the work they do, and I had that situation. So I actually reached out and I said, this is the situation I'm facing. What do you suggest? And I'm scheduling these long meetings. They paused me there, and they actually ran through and told me how my meeting must be running. That's when I realized the power of working with community of people who are genuinely interested in making a difference to people's lives when they are going through major life change. And therefore, not only did I go and certify myself. I do have more than a dozen now financial transitionists from within our company. And I'm also doing maybe a little bit of gratis work of training other advisors to become transitionists. So I'm technically training competition as well.
So to come back to the story of the bereaved woman, Lova and Sneha, would be important to understand this point, the typical mistakes that people make when they find themselves in a major life event like this one that has them all, you know, mixed up in terms of emotions, in terms of what they should prioritize. Is it going to be the child's education? Is it going to be taking care of the house? Is it going to be looking at the will and figuring out what's in it? Or, you know, weeping those tears that are going to be part of your life for a fair bit of time. So what are typically those pitfalls one would do well to avoid?
So just one of the simple things to explain how we help is the person came to us, the client came to us after losing the spouse and said, I can't live in this house because the memories just, you know, are troubling me so much and my spouse is no longer with me. It's just so difficult. I want to sell and I want to shift. It can be to another city, another country. It could be to the next building in the society. I just want to move. So we said, okay. Also, as financial planners, we racked our brains and said, okay, let's just work out the numbers for her and see what can happen. Because of course, we have to go back and look at the numbers also. We can't just go via, you know, what the client wants. We have to go back and check whether the ability is there or no. So we all scratched our brains. We said, okay, can we get a temporary loan? Because it's going to take time to sell this house. Even if we put it out in the market right now, it's going to take at least 3 to 6 months. And if our client wants to move right away, maybe in the next 1 or 2 months, might find something and want to move. So we have to fill in the interim gap of the cash flow. Even if it's the same value of the house that, you know, the client is moving on to. We worked all that out. 10 days later, we had a follow-up meeting with the client. And she comes and tells us, Sneha, I don't think I can ever leave this house because how can I leave? This is the only thing I have left. And this is where, you know, I had him with me and I don't ever want to leave this place at all. I know I did say everything what I did last time, but I've been thinking about it in the last 10 days and it's going to be very painful for me to leave this last piece of my spouse and go as well. Now, right there. As a financial advisor, I'm going to be stuck. I will not know, okay, numbers are working out. This is what we are doing. How do I proceed? But as a financial transitionist, a layer above the financial planner, it immediately tells me that the client is having an inconsistent behavior where, you know, she's not able to decide what's the best thing for her at this point in time. Her emotions are, you know, making her sway in all sets of directions. So it's very important for me to then let her know that this is one of the traits I am observing and let's not again rush into any decisions, whether of staying here or of moving. Let's also see if you had to move, are there other people who are going to get impacted by that? Can we also have a conversation with them to see what's going on in their mind? If there are children, if there are parents, anybody living along with her, what is going on over there? So that's how, you know, simple situations can become complicated and we have to deal with it as and when pages turn in the relationship with the client.
And I think in this type of situation where, you know, I am left single because I've lost my loved one and I am not the financial decision maker at this point in time, suddenly I find very well-meaning friends and relatives who are coming and giving me advice. So I think one of the mistakes that happen is that I may tend to follow what my closest friend told me because, oh, my closest friend told me. But that closest friend may not be best equipped to A, deal with the emotion or even understand the money aspect for you. And therefore, a financial transitionist, and that the important piece about the transitionist is that they all need to be trained in finance, and now they are adding a layer on top of it. So they do understand finances. They can, you know, be financial planners, financial advisors. But what they are doing now as a step further is also trying to understand the why of your doing what you're doing, and not just, you know, calculate the amounts and see whether they are enough.
You know, you've got me thinking, because I'm wondering if an emotional decision in itself is such a bad thing to do. Because what if I find myself in a situation where there is no way I can continue to live in this house, which is full of memories of my partner, and I just cannot bear to live here anymore and I want to move out. But you, as my financial transitionist, are advising me against that sort of a decision, because there are other considerations, children's education, you know, a lot of other things in play as well. So when you encounter these, when you're up against some of these emotional decisions that people, you know, sort of dig their heels into, do you sort of concede these battles, or do you win them? How do you approach this?
No, I don't think as a financial transitionist we are making an opinion or a judgment about that this decision is wrong. We might do it from a financial planning point of view, because I think every human being is wired differently. And therefore, it all becomes all the more important for us to try and remove our bias in the advice that we are giving as a transitionist. You know, we tend to think that, you know, there is one way, and therefore it has to be the way that I know it, and that's the only way that you should deal with it, right? I don't think that's true at all. And therefore, allowing them to you know, just think through. Let's say the decision was made that I have to leave this home, and therefore I don't want to have anything to do with this home because they have all painful memories. Sure, let's spend time understanding all the pain that you are facing, but also give you the opposite side, saying, were there any pleasant memories that you carried in this place? And how would you feel leaving this home and those pleasant memories behind? So you're giving them the choice and they have to choose. So I don't think it's a battle at all. I think if you start into this space that this is a battle, then you've already lost it, because it's not the battle you want to win.
And as a transitionist, we are not answering the client. We are not telling the client, this is what you must do, this is what you must not do. All that we are telling the client is, these are the possibilities and you have to choose what you want to do. I am bringing in scenarios which you would have overlooked from your side. My job is to say that, hey, you are having a very narrow focus. Let me take you to the balcony. Let's see what the balcony view looks like. You're right now only thinking about, you know, getting out of this house because it's a painful memory. Let's just zoom out, not look at the last 6-7 months. But look at the last 10 years, 15 years you've lived here. Suddenly the view changes. Oh, I brought in my child in my arms first time in this house. My mother came in and she had the last 2 years with us, the most happy 2 years with us, and so on and so forth. So suddenly, like Lovai said, if we talk about the other piece, or we try to bring in different scenarios, You're going to be more comfortable making decisions which are more grounded rather than superficial, just because something has happened right now and I'm jumping out to doing because of that recent incident.
You know, when I listen to you talk, I'm left with this feeling that they don't teach us financial basics, principles, early enough. I think we're all just sort of brought up to believe that life is going to be a bed of roses, all butterflies and rainbows. And then when such a thing happens, you really don't have the necessary information to make those quick, timely decisions to secure, you know, the future of your children, for example, or other dependents that are now looking to you to navigate their lives. So I don't know. I mean, how can this really help? Would you like to drive home the point of early education on financial principles, Lovai and Sneha?
One of the first things that we do in general with all our clients is have them both join our meetings. If one is missing, we will always ask, why is the spouse missing? There are times where, you know, the husband's always busy earning the money, but the wife is making decisions related to finances and investments and so on. there are times where it's the other way around, where wife's busy earning and the husband's available to just take decisions on finances. There are other situations where both are equally involved, and most often than not, there are situations where only the husband's involved, wife is not. So the one thing that we definitely say, that start being involved, start asking us questions. We are okay to have a common meeting with the spouse and the, with both of them as a couple. But if there are questions that the wife wants to ask us after that meeting, we tell them, yes, please. We are here and we are going to answer any question that you have. No question is a stupid question. We are here for you. Please ask. So that's one of the things that in the firm together, we as advisors push our clients to come in as couple. Now, many a times, even after we push, they are not actively involved. But we try and mark them on all emails. At least when they get free time, they will look at it. Like you rightly mentioned, that personal finance is not taught in schools and colleges, but it's high time that we start doing it. Basic budgeting, how to save, when to take loan, how much loan to take, how to manage that loan. These are some things that we all need to know. And of course, there has been enough drive on SIPs, etc. But even simple things, how to manage a credit card, people are not aware of. So it is a very important thing that we try to ingrain at the schooling level, because we always talk about, study well, earn well, and then, get that fantastic job. But what after that? How do you take care of your money and move forward?
And also, I think we have to teach what not to do. So in the last year, a whole bunch of young people have gone into, derivatives and think that the markets always rise. They are a balloon and they'll keep going up. What they don't realize that sometimes the balloon gets pricked or it runs out of gas, and then it'll keep coming down. So if you have not understood the risks of whatever you do, then it becomes very difficult for you to manage both your finances and your emotion. But I think that's a topic for really some other day. We can spend hours talking about financial literacy and what needs to be done in the country.
Well, this has been a sort of a difficult conversation to have. We started out with a scenario of the 42-year-old homemaker who lost her husband and had to make suddenly walk into, taking charge of her finances and the lives of her two girls. And I certainly hope, bad things don't happen to anyone, but that's not really how life works, is it? And you must watch the previous episode of the series, a two-part series, I'd like to call it, of Simply Lowai, on the importance of major life changes and how you actually use financial transition planning to navigate those life changes. So check out the episode that came in before this, and I think everything else will fall into place. And Lowai and Sneha, thank you so much for doing this for us.
That was an episode of the Simply Lowai podcast series, Expert with a Heart.